Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, and the Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 1 Peter. Know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited by your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who, through him, are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Know that you are ransomed from futile ways inherited from your forefathers, from Adam, from pagan parents, maybe, but Peter also means even from devout Jewish parents, the parents of those scattered in the diaspora. And for us, dare I say, he also means from devout Lutheran forefathers also. Because the blood of Jesus introduces a tradition and a family that eclipses much of what we pass on. And thank God for that. We respect our fathers for the discipline they gave us, knowing that they tried to discipline us as seemed best to them at the time. But this is not the way our Heavenly Father is it? Christ gives the Christian child a cloak with which he may cover his own father's shame too. Abraham has become father to stones and to many nations. And that is through the grace of Jesus Christ. And so it is always the Lord's will that fathers would be saved by the grace of Christ Jesus, with hearts cleansed by faith, and as Peter himself said so well, in the very same way that we children are too. A new inheritance is given to us, dear friends. It's one that's not tied only between parents and children, but which certainly, therefore, ought to be wherever God gives children to Christian parents. We're born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and the abiding Word of God. And it is not that the family is destroyed by Christianity's new ties. No. Every fatherhood under heaven, in fact, is so named because of this Father of lights whom we know in Christ Jesus, to whom we bow our knees together with our parents and grandparents and our children as well. It's only that the family is extended and must be extended much further in the Christian church. Because now there is a brotherhood that is by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is a blood which is even deeper, even more ancient of a line than that of Abraham. This is the blood that was foreknown, in fact, even before the foundation of the world, even if it's only been manifested to us relatively recently. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. The precious cost purchases us, as we know from the Catechism, and it applies a value to us. I do love how St. Peter doesn't settle for a trite or oversimplified sentiment here, as sometimes we do. First, he does not say that we are a family in a hollow way. Sometimes we say it that way here at work. He means blood when he says family. He means that Christ entered our flesh and shed his blood in that flesh to make it so. The Holy Spirit seals us with an adoption as sons and heirs of God, pointing us to that blood which has cleansed us. And when we then take up the address, Our Father, it's not a colloquialism, it's not an engagement exercise, it's not chosen because of the way it sounds to other people, or because it's a best practice approved by market research. He has washed us clean. He has invested his own blood through death in us. As Paul wrote in Acts, gladly expending the parental cost, tying his name to us with all of the risk of what a child might do with your last name. Because without any merit or worthiness in us, the shepherd shed his blood for his sheep. He loves us first. When a company like ours says we are family, I can't help but wince a little bit. It kind of degrades the family brand, doesn't it? Just like calling family a brand would degrade it. Nothing about a workplace can ever be as natural or as real as your children with you, as children with a mother and with a father, as sisters playing together or bickering with each other or sticking up for one another. The company is most likely, in fact, to compete with the real family. Don't we know this? But it is the opposite with Christ our brother and with God our Father, the way the Bible uses it. There's nothing cheapening to say that we are God's true children and he's our true father. If anything, we might be afraid that it would overshadow and eclipse our fatherhoods and our brotherhoods, because his ways never come to futility. His discipline never fails in its aim. Everything he says and does accomplishes its purposes, his purposes. But notice that the scriptures never give such an impression to us that he effaces all of the family ties. No, rather, the promises of Christ's atoning blood are for you and for your children. In his light do we see light. In his fatherhood, our fatherhood is named and therefore gains all of its strength again. And the second honesty in St. Peter today is his way of speaking about our value given in Christ Jesus. We are precious. We are costly to God. But boy, is this so distinct from any "you are worthy" campaign that you might hear somewhere else. This is truly a move from futility all the way up to silver and gold and the most costly, valuable things that ever have been. From perishable, dead, dying, decaying, to imperishable and immortal. Peter can't speak of our worthiness without any reference to the old futility from which we have been ransomed, dear friends. The condition that we still see all around us, and most distressingly, we even see within us, in the flesh, contradicting and disrupting this family of God. This passage, which is really quoted from Isaiah, is a real gut punch there. There, the Lord says that his servant is to cry, and the prophet asks, "What in the world am I going to cry?" Because the deep futility of entropy, of death, of the twisted human heart, that can't be dismissed with mere words or with cosmetics or even with perpetual busyness and distraction. The need that we have for wholeness, does not become because of a self-delusion that we are broken when really we're just fine if only we could see it. No. We can't be retrained to see that we are truly deep down just fine. The need for wholeness is pervasive because we are withering even as we grow. That we are growing up, in fact, into what? That comes at the end. Death. And death, of course, is not the natural result of growth. Death is manifesting sin. That, of course, is what Peter ultimately and deeply means when he says that we have fully inherited a futility from every forefather. And the preachers resonate with Isaiah. What could I possibly cry? And the father and the mother resonate just as much. What could I possibly say or do? But the answer is what the true voice in the wilderness got to speak of and even point to. The answer is that the word of our God stands forever. And this is not a mere word. This is not a verbal or intellectual patch on all of our problems. This is an incarnate word. This is the one who became grass for grass, who was thrown into the oven to redeem us by his death, to pay for us with his blood, to purchase and win us for himself, even though we were of no value. He is the seed who, though eternal and immortal, fell to the earth and died. And if he is now raised from the dead, as truly he is, he brings forth with him many heads of grain also. His holy and his precious blood is manifest in our times for our sake, for your sake, and yes, for your children's sake also, that our faith and our hope would be in God. Now, how's that for a motivation to see a family line continue? What family has a promise like we have in Christ Jesus, that even if we should die, yet shall we live in him? This is manifest then, that our faith and our hope would be a God, and that it would be a hope that can deal even with what seems totally futile all around us, because he remains forever. This is the new and eternal inheritance, dear friends, that we have received in Christ Jesus, that he has ransomed us with. This is what we cry, and this is what we pass on. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.